What's up, y'all? It's your girl, KC.
And this is Chris. What's going on?
And this is our final podcast of 2013. We're going to do a little recap of this year before we slide you on into our actual break episode. And I just want to say how humbled and grateful I am that you all have supported us as you have throughout this time that we've been podcasting. We are extremely grateful and extremely humbled at the outpour of support, of encouragement, the constructive criticism that we so greatly appreciate, the questions, just the interaction, period, and the reaching out of listeners and other podcasts. We are really, really grateful for that and hope to return it and continue this web of support that we're all building. You know, Chris and I have very much a mom and pop shop happening over here. Black Is was something that came to me when I was bored on a job many, many years ago and was frustrated at the lack of websites that offered Black cultural and historical content. And what I felt was just a diversity of conversation. There was a lot of conversation around celebrity and around gossip, but nothing that was really speaking to what I felt the ills of our society were at the time and the amount of just fracture in the community. And I am so pleased at how Black is evolving and continuing to evolve. And we want to thank those people who are part of our team. Those are our family members and friends, people who support us offline as well as online. And we're so grateful for the time that you guys give to us, for the roundtable, for the various series that we're able to offer. And in 2014, we've come up with some new offerings that we're going to be giving you guys. Some will be weekly, some will be bi-weekly, some will be monthly, some will be quarterly, but they will have a consistent pattern of release. So we hope you just continue to listen to us and support us. I want to thank you, honey, for stepping in this year and really taking on the editing role. There was a moment where I was just a bit overwhelmed with all the work that we had going on. And Chris jumped in and was like, I got it. And now he's kind of like an autopilot on the editing. And he's a much better editor than I am. So I'm so very happy to leave it in his capable hands and just focus on creating content. But aside from that, we want to encourage all of our listeners to continue to listen and to expand your podcast listening to all the wonderful podcasts that exist. There are so very many, and it probably is impossible to listen to every single one of them, but there are some really wonderful podcast teams coming out of different areas in this nation, folks who are really dedicated to the business of podcasting. And, you know, it's not just foolishness. They're having some very real conversations that impact us as a community, but also impact society overall as a whole. And there is a movement that was started, I believe, by the Black Astronauts podcast and is supported by the In Deep podcast team called Support Your Own, which is something we all need to stand behind and really live by. You know, y'all know out here on the West Coast, I'm very much big on supporting my people, supporting Black business, supporting small business, supporting people of color. And podcasting in and of itself is its own Black small business. There is a network of people who are doing this within our community and our culture. And we need to listen to what people are talking about and jump in on these conversations, because this is how we build and rebuild. If people have any concerns about where our community is going, because that's always the question. What's up with Black people now? What's next?
Right.
You know, and this is how you become a part of that conversation and have an impact. And that's to speak up, to listen, and to speak your mind. And, you know, we look forward to working with these various podcast teams in this new year. We look forward to any baby podcasters that get that itch and get started this year. We got your back. And, you know, let's do this. This is, as podcast Diddy, my brother Moody, would say, the new FM. Let's take over. And so, you know, there's many podcasters that we would like to just shout out. And This is our way of thanking you all, and also our way for listeners, y'all on the West Coast especially, tap into these folks that are in other areas of the nation and give them a listen.
Yeah. We mentioned the Black astronauts and the ladies, Lawrence. They've come out the year swinging.
Yes.
They have great content over there. And we appreciate you guys mentioning us.
Yeah, we super appreciate you guys giving us the mention and rolling out. That's awesome. That meant a whole lot to us, and we look forward to returning that favor for you, West Coast style, in 2014.
And folks over at the In Deep Show.
Yes, yes.
And with their recap, they mentioned us this year.
Yes, and our What Makes a Marriage Work two-part series. We're so glad you guys appreciated that conversation and enjoyed it and recapped it, and we hope that your listeners gained something from it. And yeah, that was a fun topic. That was a fun one.
Of course, welcome to the village with KJ.
Yes, brother KJ. That's our fam down in San Diego.
He's had a great year, his first year. You know, we were able to do some things with him, and he's able to do some things with us. So, you know, we always got support for him.
Yes, and there will be a moment where Black Is and Welcome to the Village are actually in the same room on the mics together, and we look forward to that.
West Coast. Oh, can't forget Jay from Up for Discussion.
Yes. Jay is our baby bro, and Jay is, to me, one of the masters of podcasting with his very young, insightful, optimistic self. He's a brilliant podcaster, from the way he introduces his shows to the way he structures them to the way he produces them, and some really, really solid content. That right there is a shining star. And we appreciate you, Jay, for having both Chris and I on this year talking about relationships and marriage. That's been a good topic this year. Marriage in general has come up a few times in the podcast. And we thank you so much for highlighting us and giving us some mic time on your show.
We were also on the Black Guy Who Tips earlier this year.
Yes, Rod and Karen, our favorite podcast couple. We really love you guys. Again, masters of the craft. They are full-time podcasters. This is their work. We're all aiming to get to that level. But we appreciate you guys for, again, giving us mic time on your show. And we love podcasting with you all. It's always a good time, always interesting, fun topics to get into. I feel like we find ourselves cracking up more than actually talking, Chris and I. But good conversation, good times, good show.
I know you were actually on Straight Outta Low Cash.
Yes, yes, yes. And I have to say, I meant to bring this up earlier, but I've been meaning to say this for a while. I did a podcasters roundtable earlier this year, some of which you guys have heard, because there was so much material that I kind of had to dig through it and separate the wheat from the chaff. And there are some parts that I chose to not publish. But Daryl was the most insightful member I felt of that particular podcast. And Daryl, I've been wanting to tell you how much I appreciate your honesty. And sharing your story and your truth with us on that podcast. We were having a conversation about education and how adults can be of influence to children who are not their own. And I just want to say, brother, how much respect I have for you and how much love I have for the work that you do, and look forward to connecting with you again in 2014.
Oh, yeah, we can't forget a player hater.
Oh, my goodness. That's the voice. Player Hater is the voice of podcasting. Yes, we can never forget Player Hater. I've been on Player Hater show probably a few times this year, but Player Hater is his own special man, and he chooses to deliver his podcast if and when he feels like it. So some episodes you guys have heard, some of them you might not have heard yet, and he's, you know, doing what he's doing, taking the hater tour. And you know, Hater has his own method to his madness. I think nobody else's podcast is like his. He is the king of playing devil's advocate, and making your show his show. And so we love Player Hater for the work that he does, and appreciate being guests on his show. We appreciate him participating with us several times on our show this year, and we look forward to working with him again in 2014.
And just a few I want to mention that who have been supportive, and you guys do really need to check out their shows. Of course, Rashani from Single Simulcast. He's always been a supportive brother.
Yes, yes.
Downtown Black and Brown, Enrique Black has been supportive of us as well. Can't wait to get up with him in the new year. Two brothers, two mice. Casino, he's putting it out, man. We missed you when you was out here, bruh.
Yes, you really missed out on not getting with us, but we ain't going to get mad at you for that. Next time.
And of course, I got to mention the Hip Hop Digest.
Oh my God. Okay, just for a moment, moment of silence for the Hip Hop Digest. Hip Hop Digest is my favorite podcast because of their method of podcasting. Moody is always giving Black Is props for getting out what he says he does in 2 hours, we do in 30 minutes. I feel like Hip Hop Digest does what we do in a month in 30 minutes. Their ability to go through several topics and keep the conversation flowing and upbeat within a half an hour time span is awesome. And they have three really great personalities on the show. I enjoy listening to you guys. I have learned a lot about this craft from listening to you guys. And we sincerely hope that in 2014, we can connect. If you have not listened to Hip Hop Digest, as Malcolm would say, run, don't walk to Stitcher and check them out ASAP. Great show.
They are. I also got to mention my man, Liquor Is My Muse, John from The Ink Show. He's always been real supportive. So, you know, if we forgot anybody, there's a lot of them, a lot of great podcasts out there.
Well, we can't stop. We can't end the podcast without mentioning our podcast brother, Mr. Moody. Moody has been with us from the gate. When we discovered him, it was a mutual discovering of each other's shows. And he's been probably the greatest support system as far as podcaster to podcaster contact that we've had. We talked to Moody, both of us, offline. And from the sharing of ideas to just the encouragement to just his undying optimism. And he's just a bevy of ideas and information. We just really appreciate and love you, Moody, for all that you are and all that you offer us. And Ed and Naturel, the show that you guys and the work that you guys put out over there with NDN. We are just so grateful that you all have come into our lives and we've been able to build this relationship. So Moody, we love you. Look forward to more work in 2014. Moody and I have something so special for you guys in 2014. I'm not going to tell you anything. Just look out for it.
That's what's up. Yeah, I want to mention quickly just some of our Twitter followers who have either retweeted the show, have let us know what they thought of our programming. First, at RockCity212, this brother hit us up and was like, are y'all going to do a podcast on 12 Years a Slave?
Which lit fire under us. No,
we really appreciate that, man. I mean, we knew once the movie came out, we were like, oh, we definitely going to see this and talk about it. But it's always appreciative to hear somebody actually looking forward to hearing us critique this movie.
Right. And like what we wanted to do was how we did with Django. Our Django podcast was great. We even got a little national press in the Daily Beast from that podcast last year. But this year we found that everybody was not as receptive to seeing 12 Years a Slave. It's so funny. And so we weren't able to pull together as large of a group to talk about that film. However, there's so many Black films coming out that are dealing with our history, and we're going to continue to encourage our team and probably have more Black Is field trips. That's what we do. We get together as a team, go see something, and then come back to the mic and talk about it. And so I foresee more of that happening in 2014, but we appreciate you looking out for us, Rock City 212, for that particular podcast, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I hope you enjoyed your time out here in L.A. You know, he hit us up asking where were the for real Black spots to go to.
Yeah, I need feedback on the cork, brother. What did you think of the cork? The cork, that's the joint right there. Only true L.A. people know about the cork.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned at Lady Row 46. This sister listens to, I think, every damn podcast out there. She's always been supportive. She's always listening, let us know what, you know, how she enjoyed the show. So props to her. At main_char, at mboombap, at the rainbow, BAUX, at Jaquetta, at academics. Just want to thank y'all and everybody who's been supporting us on Twitter. We appreciate it. We love your feedback. Please continue to do so. Let us know what you guys think of our show. So do you have any favorite podcasts that we did for 2013?
Yes. I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't give some love and reverence to Brother Malcolm for all the work he did this year with Culture Connection UK. That was a big project, much of which you guys still haven't heard. There was so much material gathered from there. And so in 2014, we will still be bringing you segments of Culture Connection UK throughout the year, because Malcolm got a chance to talk to so many people, but namely Tawia and Omar, two really amazing musicians over in the UK. And Malcolm did a really great job talking to them, and actually got a chance to spend time with Omar in his studio, which, oh my goodness, Chris and I would both give our left hands to do that. It was awesome. And also want to give a shout out to Garth Trinidad for the video interview series we did with him. Garth is one of the most influential DJs in the city of Los Angeles. He is a DJ for KCRW, and I just appreciate the time he took with me talking about music and LA music history. I also want to give a shout out to Bilal. I'm a huge Bilal fan and was so grateful to get a moment to talk to Bilal about his craft and his music and his new album that he dropped this year. And outside of those shows, I just want to thank our whole team for the work that they put in for the break this year, and my brother-in-law and my hubby for this Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. Really good work there, taking care of what was happening in the sports world on all fronts. And just really looking forward to 2014 being that much more of a fruitful, creative year for all of us. We all have some really good ideas, and we've had some really great conversations here when the mics go off about things that we want to do. And so I see 2014 being a year where we plant many, many seeds.
We're going to end 2013 with an episode that we didn't get to put out when it actually happened, but I guess it's fitting. It's one of the biggest events of 2013 with
I guess
Kanye going off on Kanye on the Sway in the Morning show.
Yeah, and this was an experimental podcast as well. We have some new equipment that we've been playing around with that allows us to do podcasting remotely. And so it was Chris and I and our brother Tash just sitting around the day after Thanksgiving, full on leftovers and drinking lots of wine, as you'll hear in the background of the podcast. But we decided to watch the interview of Kanye and Sway and then pause and talk about it as things happened in the interview. And so we hope you enjoy our little experiment and find it as amusing as we found it while we were creating it.
Oh, yeah. So, of course, if you guys want to reach out to us, please do on Twitter at Black Is Online, on Facebook at Black Is Magazine. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219. And as you guys know, you can always find us on Stitcher and iTunes Radio and on our homepage, blackisonline.com.
Right. Email at kc@blackisonline.com. And we'll see y'all in the new year. Love you. Peace.
Later.
The most important artist of this generation, over 21 Grammys, 6 consecutive number one albums, one of the most impactful voices to ever grab a microphone, one of the most talented producers to ever produce music, fashion, art.
Because my demo tape is that Yeezus tour. It's 20,000 people, 4 nights in a row,
yeah,
looking at pure creativity.
So this is a special edition Black Is Break with your girl, KC Lehman. We got Chris Lehman and Tash Mosley in the house. And we are watching the Kanye West Sway interview. And we are going to be splicing pieces of this interview in with this podcast. Hopefully, you might just get the podcast. But anyway, so we just finished watching the first 8 minutes of the interview, and prior to this conversation, we had a whole talk about, and this is my issue that I brought to the table, about whether or not the label of genius on Kanye is a little heavy-handed. And after talking it out with my brethren, I concluded that Kanye is indeed an icon, but I think genius is still a little too much
of, I don't think he's a genius. I think he's iconic. I do not think he is a genius. And for the reasons of, I don't see him doing anything that is terribly groundbreaking. I don't see him making music that I've never heard before. He's not doing anything that's entirely brand new. It is definitely inspired by things that I grew up listening to. I think even he will attest to that. But I do think he is iconic. He is going to have a, he is having an impact on this current generation. His influence is widespread and large, and I'm not going to take that away from him.
And I personally feel that while I won't argue against calling him genius, I won't use it myself. I agree that he is an icon. But seeing him in this way interview reminds me of Carrie on Homeland, played by Claire Danes. And someone in the room made the comment that he may be on drugs, and it hit me that no, he's not on the lithium that he could probably use. And Claire Danes was recently on Charlie Rose, and she talked about the condition that her character Carrie suffers from. And she says when Carrie goes into a manic fit, people who are manic like that, they really are sometimes, they really are the smartest person in the room. Mm-hmm. Their neurons are firing so quick that they can't keep up with all their genius ideas and whatchamacallit. And so they become a little too much to deal with. And a lot of what I see in like, oh, Carrie, just shut up right now. When I'm watching Homeland, I feel the same way about Kanye. Is Carrie ahead of the curve and knowing, you know, that so-and-so is a terrorist? I don't care what you say.
Right.
Yeah. Is Kanye ahead of the curve in having, and like where you said his music is not groundbreaking, I kind of agree with that, but I do think his music is always fresh. Like I was saying, I think it's always 2 years ahead of where everybody else is. Is it groundbreaking, like where you fall out and you're like, I never heard nothing like this ever before? No. But it is fucking fresh. It is groundbreaking in a lower
in a lower register.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think he needs some antipsychotic medicine. But guess what? A lot of geniuses, incidentally, are actually psychotic, and they don't know how to control their impulses. And apparently, he fits the bill.
For what a genius is. Thin line between genius and...
Well, he kind of crazy, so...
Crazy.
Right.
You keep playing. I have much to say. I said all at this point right now. I just want to keep watching.
Okay.
Explain yourself.
Back to the interview.
When you say... In that particular field, will you say that part of fashion, the fashion world, is racist?
No, I say classist and controlist, because it's not racist, because they love Asians. You know, it's like, so it's not racism. You know, it's more like, who can they control? I mean, a guy that was sent to me from Puma literally came to me and said, how can we control you? But you can't control me. And the thing is, he let one nigga in, but he was a nice guy. That's Pharrell. He let another nigga in. That almost lost his life. So I'm living in the afterlife as far as I'm concerned. I'm living in a second life. For the most part, it's very difficult to get high-end, respected fashion people to work with someone that's considered to be a musician. I turned up where they didn't think I could turn up that far. And they tried to hold it back. It was like that moment, you know, when I thought about taking Nicki's verse off of Monster, because I knew people would say that was the best verse on the best hip-hop album of all time, or arguably top 10 albums of all time, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you a description of how he just said that. Imagine just...
Kanye and his relationship.
Yeah, this whole, like, Mark Jacobs let two niggas in. So picture some white man at the gate of whatever you vision a gate. And I'm like, hey, niggas, we let y'all in. Congratulations. You've made it to this point. So I'm going to let y'all in. Pharrell, good job. Thank you, sir. Walks in. That's it. Kanye, before he walks in, they're like, wait a minute. I need to talk to you for a second. That's what he's talking about. That's how it come off. Like, hey, we let the nice one in. You watch your fucking step.
Don't talk too much.
Yes.
Come in and be quiet.
Like, hey, I see what the fuck you doing, and you will get put down.
Does that mean he's throwing his homie Pharrell under the bus for being too soft or nice? Or
being
like,
the nice
he's
guy.
He's trying to call him the Blake Griffin. I mean, like, let me, what is he trying to say?
No, but I guess he's like, he's a nice guy, and of course, if he's bringing up his race, it comes up, oh, he's a nice nigga.
Right.
If I say something to you, you're not gonna speak back.
I will give him props for saying that the issue with Louis Vuitton is not race-based, but class and control. So I think for a lot of people, it really comes down to classism. You have enough money, you can pretty much get into any door that you want. Now, there's going to still be people that are prejudiced against you, as Oprah found out. Where was she?
She was at Hermes.
Yeah.
That's not even a recent one.
No, but that's just straight up prejudice. You know what I'm saying? But like, like he said, it's an issue of class and then being able to tell you what to do. Because what was the name of the Asian designer who came out with the popular Louis Vuitton bags?
That wasn't
probably about a decade ago.
It wasn't a popular Asian
Vera woman, Wang? Is
it? No, what? I'm looking him up right now. It was
He had a show on IFC or Bravo.
I don't know, but it's those. He came up. He's the one who did the Louis Vuitton print bags with the color. And they
were popular.
They were crazy popular. Johnny and black and white.
Now, see, I have a kind of issue with him saying it's not race because he initially went to they have Asian models. But it feels like race with fashion in a sense of the look that they desire is not a black look. So they don't want anything that resembles a black person's features and all that.
But what
they comes off like they don't like it.
What's a black look? What?
Okay, now, to me, because you have a lot of models complaining that there's not a lot of blacks in fashion. Like, oh, you let a black girl be on the cover of your spread. Like, that's a big deal still.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, well, is it not racism as in what? They let any person design? And it's basically, are you a rich designer, or you come from a poor background in terms of designing fashion? Because I think modeling fashion is
that's
different.
One thing.
That seems to be more of your how you look, and Joey, we don't like how you look. We don't like how you niggas look.
And I think that's what they don't mind us wearing their stuff because if you're a black person with influence,
right?
I listened to a brief interview or read a brief interview with Tom Ford about, you know, Jay-Z putting him in his song, and they asked him how he felt about it, and he was like, first of all, I've been dressing Jay-Z for years, but he was like, so I knew the song was coming, but he said he felt really, he felt honored, because that was a sign to him that he has now invaded pop culture, now that his, you know, he is a song. And so,
I would get that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one, you gotta have some money if you want Tom Ford dressing you.
Yeah,
it ain't just like you just ask somebody to dress you, and it's like, okay, cool, I'm gonna just dress you. Like, how much you paying me to style you?
Yeah, but the control issue is interesting in the sense that if what you said, it's the Takashi Murakami.
Okay.
Louis Vuitton bag. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if he actually let a black person design a Louis Vuitton bag, that's different than showing the person in the magazine carrying the Louis Vuitton.
Right, or taking pictures of them wearing it. And the question is, like, what kind of ideas was Kanye bringing to the table? We'll probably never know. Like, did he want the LV to be a KW?
No.
Like, if that was the case, I could maybe understand where they was coming from.
They were ideas that were ahead of the guard. They were avant-garde. Do you not know?
Apparently, I'm out the loop.
Right.
Okay, back to the interview.
As disruptive as that Nicki Minaj monster verse was, is how disruptive the Yeezys were. People hadn't felt that feeling since the Jordans. And by the way, the Jordans only popular at this point because of two people, me and Don C. I'm standing up and I'm telling you, I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh. Walt Disney, Nike, Google.
Or why don't you empower yourself and don't need them and do it yourself?
Halfway.
Take a few steps back to go.
You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway.
Kanye.
I've been doing this more than you.
Doing what more than me?
Come on, chill out.
You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers.
I'm asking you a question. You
ain't been doing the education.
Bro.
You ain't been doing the education.
Calm down.
You don't have the answers, though.
Calm down.
Because you're trying to give me advice about something.
No, no, no,
you
no,
ain't,
no.
You ain't got the answer. You ain't spent $13 million of your own money trying to empower yourself.
Yes, but I spent hundreds of thousands and putting out clothing lines at a smaller degree. All I'm asking you,
Ralph, though. It ain't Ralph level.
Let me ask you this. I'm asking
What's
you,
the name of your clothing line? We don't know.
Kanye.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I lost money. But that's not...
Exactly. That, and I could lose money on a higher level, too.
And that's
don't
what
think
I'm
just
you.
Because...
Wait, hold
don't
up,
think because
up,
I got
Kanye,
the most
up.
Or the
let
least
me, let
money.
Let me finish my question, dog.
Man, bec- no,
no,
man.
Let me hear the question,
You don't have
man.
The answers.
I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question. Okay, but you ain't got to turn up on me man-to-man, dog. Fuck these mics. We could turn all this shit off. You ain't got to do this. It's cool. I love you, bro. But you ain't got to turn up. Ain't no, don't try to embarrass us.
We all slaves. And y'all ain't experienced nothing right here but a moment from a movie out of glory. Back in the days, the slaves had enough money, they could buy their own freedom. We all say we slaves to Nike. We slaves to Benz. We slaves to public perception. We slaves to not looking, you know, what somebody going to say after the interview. Why you let Kanye do that? You should have checked him.
I don't give a
fuck. I love you, man. I'm sorry. I love you, man. I'm sorry, okay?
That's fine. That's fine.
But look at this. This is exactly what would happen at the French Revolution. This is exactly what happened. I'm sure some arguments with Harriet Tubman and other people talking about, let's go this way, let's go that way.
All right, so we just finished watching Kanye turn up on Sway about Sway asking him, how come you just say, you know, to hell with these large brands, Louis Vuitton, Adidas, whomever. You have your own money. You have enough connections. Create your own manufacturing and make your own products. And Kanye keeps coming back to the point that basically without having these larger machines behind him, he will not be able to command the value in his products that he wants. He does not want to make the shoe that's going to sell at Shoe Warehouse in 5 years. He wants the shoe that will constantly come back on the Louis Vuitton website and still command $300. The thing, but the more importantly, he made the point that what he is witnessing as he gets into this fashion is that Black people are marginalized in regards to what we are able to accomplish. When we present something to somebody, and in his case, let me just speak from his perspective. In his case, when he presented the Yeezy shoe to Louis Vuitton, it was so off the charts. It was the new Jordan, as he called it, that it fucked them up. And they immediately had to suppress him. And what was the analogy he made? He made it a comparison to Nicki Minaj and her verse on Monster.
Yeah.
On his Dark Fantasy album. The fact that that album might arguably be, what do you say, the one of the best hip-hop albums of all time. And that on that album, everybody's favorite verse would be Nicki Minaj's. After his 8 months of hard work, the focus would still be what Nicki Minaj would do. And he said if his ego allowed him, he could cut that verse and say, fuck her, she don't get any shine off of this. Right. But that wasn't the choice he made. But that's how he feels he's being treated when he goes to these large-scale, high-end designers and says, let me get in there with my own brand.
Well, that could have been the case with Louis Vuitton and Marc Jacobs. And to be honest, that's when someone's head of a fashion house, that's their prerogative mm-hmm. to protect their ego however they want. And I'm mm-hmm. sure he's not the only people. There's a long line of folks who probably have the same feeling, probably designers mm-hmm. or people who are like, why does he have this? Why does Marc have this job when I'm bringing the hotness and freshness? I do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's just a part of the fashion industry and dealing with big egos.
Mm-hmm.
The one story that he mentioned about how Nike was saying that they're not sure if they're going to do the Air Yeezus. But when his homeboy who owns a shoe shop asked them, they're like, yeah, we'll get it to you, but you need to purchase these 10 other shoes first.
Mm-hmm.
To me, he was like, why would Nike say to me, we're not sure if we're going to do another extension, and then tell a buyer that, yeah, if you want it that bad, purchase this first and we'll bring it back and use it as leveraging. And it's like, Kanye, are businessmen not allowed to talk out of both sides of their mouth and basically negotiate and not like when they're on the line with you, not hijack the price of something that's popular. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes that's what businessmen do. They feign as if they don't really want the product in order to make it so that when they come back to renegotiate, you don't charge them with your egomaniacal genius self. You know, right. So much. And
yeah, they try to make it not sure that way that if he does want to come back, you know, basically the amount of money he would make off that shoe would be less.
Probably be more than the first deal, but less than what he wants to command.
Right.
And I think that's just the part of business that has to do with it. And I think Kanye is the type of person, and this is what has gotten him so far, and I wouldn't ask the brother to change for the life of him. Mm-hmm. He's the type of person who takes everything personally, and everything's about him.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's why we're talking about him, because everything's about him. And so what? More power to him. But I can listen to him and be like, get the fuck out of here, man. Yeah. You know, they're going to do this to anybody who they...
Yeah. The product that they want to I don't think it's race-based.
Yeah.
I think it's...
It's hard because you know it's like these are these 2-3% people who hold all the fucking cards. I'm like, these people basically have brands of different kinds.
Right.
It's like the people who own like Kraft. That is like all these different products that come under this one big company. And I understand his point, like if I just go through the bottom, that's going to take longer for me to get to their status. Because that's what he wants to be.
Yeah, but
he doesn't want to just put out. He wants to be them.
Well, my point, Kanye, is why would anybody delve all their resources into making you a competitor? So why would Mark Jacobs allow you to have an imprint under Louis Vuitton that goes huge, but only so that after your deal is up 10 years later, that you come back and you now have something that's larger than Louis Vuitton. Or you have something that's larger than Marc Jacobs. It's like people have to, you know.
They're mindful of their
own brand and competition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they know you have a big ego, you know?
Right.
He's trying to be the guy that, like, say, we already know that, like, they've heard, like, four major record companies, three or four own, basically put out all the music. It's mm-hmm. like Universal, EMI, and that are basically the essential big three. And all these other smaller companies, they're the ones putting it out. And him trying to avoid them, but basically sell as much as he was as popular on with them. And you know, probably they're probably not going to let that happen.
Well, the thing is, they recognize in this situation, I feel like I've come across this as a
businesswoman.
Yeah, as a PR maven in that experience. People recognize when their brand benefits you more than your brand benefits them. And no matter how big Kanye West is, he's not Louis Vuitton level. So anything that Louis Vuitton can do to help Kanye West is exactly what it would be. It wouldn't be his assisting Louis Vuitton and making them cooler to the masses. Right.
Kanye West has no interest in staying in his lane. What he does have an interest is owning both lanes.
Yes.
And all three lanes.
Yes.
And more power to him, brother.
Not mad at him for that.
And that's why Sway is saying, look, if this is what you want to do, you might...
Do it yourself.
He's actually not saying that. He's asking the question, but Kanye got defensive because the inference is, yo.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's asking him so much as he doesn't know. He's asking as, like, I'm the interviewer, and there are people who are going to wonder, because you're Kanye West and you're so damn large, as you say you are, why can't you just be like, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm going to do it. It's going to be as big, and I don't need y'all.
And the thing is,
he's not asking for his purpose. It's like, dude, this... People are going to just ask you, why don't you just fucking do it yourself?
And the thing is, because he already said he sunk $13 million into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, $13 million is a good amount of money. No telling who he could have found to work with him that could have made something really amazing for him. And because he has mastered internet marketing in such a manner, I don't think he would have lacked success. I think he would have been fine as far as the amount of, like, I'm curious at this moment who Dre paired with when he created the Beats by Dre headphones. Was that like Bang and Olufsen? Like who did he get with for the technology for the headphones? Okay. Or are they just some basic headphones with a B on the side, but because Dre says they're cracking and you need to pay $350 a pair for them, people are willing to spend the money.
That's part of that whole popularity, because Dre popular.
Right.
And it was like, oh, Beats by Dre. Oh, right. She must be hot.
Right. That's like, Kanye by himself. Like, if anything, I'm walking away from this realizing that Kanye, for all of his confidence, isn't so confident, because I believe, and mind you, I don't think he's a genius, I believe he could make a pair of $300 shoes and sell them successfully without being paired with a Louis Vuitton or an Adidas or anybody. I think he could do it on his own.
He wants to get it in them stores. He wants to, wherever Louis Vuitton sells,
that's where he wants to sell his shit.
He don't want it in, like, Macy's and shit. He wants it, like, in Barney's.
But that's the thing, is people who work with Kanye, I think, ultimately recognize that he wants to do it on his own. He's a collaborator, but he's not a collaborator in the way that, like, this will really be our partnership.
Yeah, back to the control.
And we'll do it together. Mm-hmm. It'll be about, this is my fucking ship. I am at the helm.
Right.
And I don't understand why Louis Vuitton would hand him the keys to their ship or hand him a section of their ship with the trust that he won't come to try to batter ram the ship with his new yacht once it's grown.
That's the fear.
And you mentioned Dr. Dre. I mean, Dr. Dre is a perfect example. Dr. Dre has a partnership. The co-CEO and founder of Beats by Dre is Jimmy Iovine. Mm-hmm. Like, Dr. Dre and Jimmy have a business relationship where, and I'm probably being presumptuous, but where Jimmy, you know, charts the course, and they use the Dre brand
to move things forward
and find the right partners.
I would
agree. Even the huge donation that was made to USC for the music department, you know, Jimmy Iovine sits on the board of SC. And right. And Dr. Dre has opened himself up to a genuine collaboration with someone who can really bring a lot to the table. Right, whereas Kanye, it's going to be about his agenda.
He wants the control.
I agree. He wants to. Because his argument is, if you do this, I will make you a shitload of money. And that's basically all you really care about.
Is the money. But it's not.
It is one thing that they will feel like at some point they know, like, Kanye is not going to be satisfied. Because at some point he'll notice that, like, Jimmy, I mean, I'm the nigga who's making the real paper. You're making mad paper, Kanye, where you don't have to worry about shit. The problem is, I'm still above you.
And I know
at some point, you're not going to be cool with that, and you're going to try to bump me for my spot.
And that's honestly where I identify with Kanye. He recognized that, and I think that's where he goes back to the whole idea that we are all slaves. Mm-hmm. He recognizes that when it comes to the level of control, as far as it is in relationship to large corporations, there is a ceiling for most of us. I'm not even going to put it on people of color.
No, this is like for all of us, unless you are the elite of the elite.
Exactly.
And Kanye sees himself as the elite of the elite.
And he wants to kick in that door. Like he said, nobody's good done this before. He wants to be the one who kicks in that door. The question is anybody going to be willing to let him in? No,
the question is his approach.
The right approach.
And that's always been the case with Kanye. No one's ever like really disagreed with him. Like, yes, Beyonce's video was far better than Taylor Swift's. But your approach, Mr. West.
Wrong.
Like, that's just not how you go about doing something. Yeah. Like,
he doesn't play the game. This is also where I identify with him.
He won't play the game.
That's why he is. But yeah, playing the game depends, is what will get the door open, kind of.
Right, and you have to, it's almost like you have to know when and where to do it.
Yeah.
And there's really no right or wrong answer. Because at some point, he could have just played the game.
No, there isn't.
And it would have not benefited him. You know, he decided, you know what, fuck, I'm not going, all right, I'm going to do this. And it worked for him. Now, the second time around, maybe he, in this particular instance, he might need to play the game. And he's like, nope, I didn't. Last time I did that and it worked out, so I'm going to try it. And it might backfire.
There is a right answer, in my opinion. And it's about, like, the art of war and power. And what Kanye comes across as is someone who wants the power and control for the sake of having the power and control and being dogmatic. Whereas, like, you know, anybody can Oprah anything, like, kind of come in with the quality of good intentions and then all of a sudden find yourself at the top of the heap of a mega media empire. Mm-hmm. Where he's saying, no, I'm going to be the mega, I'm going to be the head of this mega arts media empire. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if the focus is on the control of it rather than the service that it provides to the people. And
right.
At every turn, he keeps bringing it back to power and control. And to your point about slavery, it's like, yeah, we're all kind of slaves. I mean, well, one, I'd like to really note that being a slave means that you work free of any income. And yes, there are people, they're the underemployed and the underpaid folks, but right. A slave, for me, is when you are really, you don't have the right to earn an income or even leave a job.
Right.
You know, so I would, and so, yes, we as consumers, we are a slave to habit.
Yes.
But we still do have the control to leave a product that heretofore we thought we just had to have.
Right.
That term is hard. When I hear it, it's like how you were describing it, it is hard because we know that being a slave, there were
more slaves than just black people in America. Right. I mean, there's been slaves throughout history. It's just that
there's still slaves, sex slaves, or yeah.
It's just that this particular, if a black man is speaking about slavery and being slaves, that particular slave was probably the worst among the worst. Like, slavery in America is probably the worst version of being a slave.
Yeah, because it's chattel slavery.
Because right. You just basically, like, not only am I not paying, I'm not paying you, you ain't shit, you ain't never going to be shit. And I'm going to make sure.
Your descendants are the slaves.
I'm going to make sure. You birth slaves.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's when it gets catched. Because you're like, yeah, we're addicted to stuff to wear.
He's using slave as
a metaphor.
Or not as a metaphor. I guess he's using it right. He's just not describing slavery in the form that African American.
And his problem is he does feel.
And he uses the term slave often.
He does feel like with a very narcissist where you. I believe that he is about the people, but I think when it comes to that, when you get that moment with Kanye, nigga, it's about me.
Yeah, he's
there's
about
not
the
that
people,
like
yeah,
he's not
himself.
A Martin or a Malcolm who would be like
self-sacrifice.
You know what? I know I'm going to fucking die, and that has to happen, and I'm fine with it.
No,
he's not.
He's not a martyr. Yeah. He's not a martyr.
No, he's almost at that level, but he won't. He's not that to where like I'm just going willing to sacrifice myself.
No,
he's not.
He's not a martyr. No. He's down for the people, but he's not down for the people above being down for self. Self is definitely first.
And that's hard.
And that might be part of, I want to put it on his being an only child. Does his mom have other kids? Or is it just him?
I don't know. His mama died.
Yeah, that's part of only child syndrome. I can attest to that. Self comes first. Mm-hmm. He's going to be protective of himself first.
And that's how he comes then, off.
And things, I'm not mad at his militant side, but there is definitely a limit. And the people who he's working with will absolutely recognize that. He wants to constantly be in control of. I mean, everything that you guys have said, I agree.
The only person I thought of who he needs to describe himself as?
Who?
Fucking Captain Ahab.
Captain
From
Ahab.
Moby Dick. That personality where it's like, I don't give a fuck. This is what's happening. You either rolling with me or you ain't. And yes, I might die doing this, but so the hell what?
But then that explains or should explain why he's not going to get into these doors. You're not going to go into Louis Vuitton, create something, and tell them I'm in control of it. Not and use their name you want. And that's why Sway's point, although not fleshed out, is an idea. Like, brother, you could totally have this entire ship running for yourself. Like, Kanye could make money doing this all by himself. Or partnering, like Tash mentioned, with somebody like a Jimmy Iovine who can get in the doors that he can't get in.
He's doing that with Adidas.
Make that money and then go bananas with whatever he wants to create. Hell, he could look for other young designers that he feels are being marginalized because he has such a keen fashion eye and bring them up.
You know, he wanted Nike because I heard the thing with Nike didn't work out, but Adidas is picked him up.
But so he's very Adidas focused. Is willing,
but he knows that, in a sense, like, I want to be on Nike level.
But Adidas ain't Nike, no Louis Vuitton.
No, but it's like Adidas not Nike. Because Nike is the number one shoe.
Adidas is not Nike. No.
It Adidas is probably number two, but he don't want to be number two.
If anything, I hope he's looking at what has happened to Jay-Z and this whole Barney situation. And he's having maybe... Because when was this interview done?
Recently.
Okay, so it's probably post Jay-Z and Barney's. Because last I heard, folks is going to Barney's looking at Jay-Z shit like it's a museum. They ain't purchasing, but they're looking and critiquing. But ain't nobody making no purchases.
Me and him are different. Like, Kanye, if that shit happened, he'd probably be like...
He'd flip a bitch.
Nah, I can just deal with somebody else. Because he's just that confident.
Yeah.
He was like, I ain't got to fuck with Barney's. I can go somewhere else. It don't matter.
Yeah. Okay, back to the interview.
And what I'm establishing with Yeezus is, you know, to take that stance, and I put my whole family on my back and I say, fuck the radio. As that number one most important artist of our generation to say that. And I'm saying, fuck the radio, not saying I don't want to be played on the radio, but it's just saying, stop making songs for the radio, make songs for the people. It's a misconception that I said boycott Louis Vuitton. You can't boycott. I wouldn't tell nobody to boycott a brand ain't nobody even thinking about no more. So if I was able to be considered a person that wasn't allowed to be hip hop, wasn't allowed to be a rapper, and I went in and turned around and became the most important not rapper but artist of the past 10 years, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I'm going to be the first straight hip hop, loud, celebrity, non-etiquette having, blackout all the time, fresh ass, super tasteful designer of all time. I'm gonna be the Tupac of clothing. Mm-hmm. You can't be a bigger music superstar than Michael Jackson. Oh. You can't be a bigger basketball star than Michael Jordan. Yeah. You can't be a bigger rapper than Tupac. But it's a space and it's product territory to Steve Jobs that all the way.
You're a lot more mature. You're a father now. You're not the same person.
Yeah, in a way, but I've been the same person since age zero.
Okay.
I was born to be me.
Now, she, you know, you just seen the pictures, and I'm still not 100% that is her ass. Because people keep showing pictures of when she had no ass. So I'm like, did you work out? Because I know you can work out and get a great ass, or did you just buy one? You just got on the... getting a fake ass early.
Yeah, listen, I've never experienced a fake ass, so I can't talk about the merits or how it feels or whether it's like the original. All I'm saying is, for him to be as dope or as genius as he claims himself to be, he chose a woman, he chose to have a kid with a woman who is, to me, just very... I mean, I don't want to clown anybody's baby's mama, because that's just not the type of person I am, but... Right. There was a time where this girl was genuinely beautiful, like, and bad. Even like, okay, you know what? She's not black, but girl's bad. But now she's just like a young Joan Rivers. And it's like, how do you not see how this story is going to end? Like, she's going to be... plastic surgery, old, and just a celebrity, a celebutante, if they're still using that term.
That's pretty much what she is.
Who knows how to manipulate media, but who has no skill set outside of being a businesswoman who can command a certain amount of dollar on her Twitter feed.
Right, because it's based on her... Her popularity is based on her personality.
Okay, you know what?
And nothing like...
It's her beauty. No, wait. It's her beauty on the inside. You know what? She could be exactly a young Joan Rivers, but if her beauty was on the inside, if she was like, damn, you know what? I try to hate on her all the time, but every time she opens up her mouth, she says something that makes her more endearing or charming or human or loving or something. She don't do that shit.
No, I don't really hear her talk.
It hadn't happened well. It's you would think for somebody on Kanye's level that he would get somebody who has some kind of passion for, has a skill set like his. Like, even if it was like, oh, she know how to design some shit. Oh, she know how to make music. She know how to sing. She know how to do something other than just
I'm famous because I'm me. Like, okay, what the fuck is that?
I would say
like,
this.
Like, it's almost like, all right, if you lost, if you got disfigured, lost your job, what you gonna do?
I'll say
like,
this.
Like, you can't act. It's not like, well, I can act.
She's been, she's hella good, and this is like really honest to God props. Mm-hmm. She's like properly media trained. She really knows how to work with media on mass and enlarge. And she knows how to, in an interview, she knows what to say. She knows how to pivot a point. Like, I was like, she's not stupid. I'm not calling the girl stupid by any stretch of the imagination.
Can she take the skills that she knows how to use media, you know, to
make the world a better place. Right. No, the
answer, or at least
no.
Can she make that money? Can she do that for somebody else and make it a skill? Like, oh, I've
yeah, I think she could.
So much to,
honestly, I right. think she could.
She can't.
I think she could be. I think she could be. Yeah, I think it's so close to her being able to the gift of gab or how to sell it or how to play it
when
in her own little style, and she's not just selling herself. I think she could do it for a charity. I think she could do it for this. The question is, like, when is she going to turn around and do it?
But, I mean, like, that wouldn't be for a charity. Can she do it for, like, another younger version of her? Or whoever.
She's going to do it for Nori.
Would she...
Or was that... What's that baby's name? Nori?
Northwest.
She could... But, I mean, at this point, her brand is so big, she doesn't need...
She didn't have to. I'm like, that's... Part of why I'm like
I just think it looks. I'm talking about her looks wise, man. Looks wise. She's not attractive.
I will say this for her, and I guess because it's because it's from Los Angeles. It's kind of like she's in her.
She wants what?
What the fuck is she?
She wants
she,
what?
Is she Persian? What is whatever her
Kardashians? I think they're Persian.
Yeah. Whatever her nationality. She is an above average looking person for that nationality. Now, because she's in fucking Southern California, she's one of many fucking attractive women. That's the thing, like, she's attractive. I mean, she has some pictures that look fucking god awful. When she's on, she looks attractive, but I'm like, to me, in the grand scheme.
In the last 3 years, Kim Kardashian has not been anything where you are just like, start salivating.
I mean, I'd take one of them hip-hop models or whatever before her.
Yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of look. I mean, it's not... Like, it's like, oh, you have ass. Like, I'm black. Seeing a black woman with ass is not an issue at all.
When did Kim Kardashian get on the scene?
I remember she fucked Nick Cannon.
She's been out almost 10 years, too.
Yeah, she was... From what I remember.
When did her video come
Whenever Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, whatever that time period was.
She came under her as that, hey, I'm that party, I'm celebrity party girl, I'm out all the time. And then, that's where I knew it, and I knew she was fucking athletes and entertainers, people in the entertainment industry, because I heard she fucked Nick Cannon, heard she had done some other
when the Ray J video
ball players out. Before Reggie Bush.
And then the Ray J video.
When he was popular, fucking this new...
Ray
new,
J was popular?
She tried to get in the box like she does.
I mean, Ray J was popular to
popular.
A certain...
Not like...
Certain... Strategy.
Not like mainstay popular.
I didn't know who Ray J was until that video came out.
Really?
Yeah, I just heard that Brandy had a brother named Ray J.
Really?
That's a new audience.
Show before Brandy had an album.
Taz caught it on a new audience.
Okay.
He got even like, oh, now Ray J has... His net is now thrown out farther to now where more people. Now he's in the mainstream because he fucked a popular party chick, and it was like she was pop. She was starting to be the chick at the time because Paris Hilton and them were kind of burning out. He got on it early, put out the sex tape, which sex tapes was popping back then, and then somehow she got through her dating scene, got with Reggie Bush. And at some point, her family just, she got on, they got on early on the reality TV game, and bam. Now she's probably the most probably well-known American that they put out there for women, for a look. She tends to be like, if they did a movie and they were talking about America and how fucking stupid it is, and all they care about is this, 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 and that, she'd be like the first, when they put up a young woman, that's what they pick.
I think that's
to show broad. Like this is what bad. This is what America is about. This fake person.
I think that's too broad. I think she would be categorized as the most popular reality star that we have.
Yeah.
Because who would be bigger than her from reality television?
Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't give her most popular American. Nobody can.
Well, not like that, but I mean, like, when they show different photos, not American. If you're going to show the entertainment industry and what might be wrong with the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. and you put up a woman's picture, she'd probably be one of the top choices.
Yeah, but nobody's going to beat Gwyneth Paltrow ever. Gwyneth Paltrow is what American... That's the American woman standard. Tall, blonde, thin.
Well, that's probably
and regular.
Real regular.
That's probably because Kim Kardashian is technically not white. She's not white.
No, she would be of color.
Right.
So yeah,
you don't get
that's,
the
that's
top.
That's the only reason why I would streamline your description of her.
Not fucking Caucasian.
Yeah, you're not gonna be.
Oh yeah, she was Caucasian. Then
and funny. Good pedigree, quote unquote.
Yeah, because we know white.
I'm just talking about how she looks like she has permanent duck lips.
I've never made a duck face. I've never done a duck face picture. I should do a duck face selfie right now.
And
she's gonna crash hard. I think she's gonna age real bad.
She's not gonna age what? I mean, she's already aging with plastic surgery, and she's not 35 yet. You know, or she's just now turning 35. So what do you do?
Joan Rivers, yeah, she'll have
that. Duck face selfies are a mess.
I hate them things.
Is this duck lips?
What? Yeah, I hate them things.
Like she's on the Michael Jackson, Joan Rivers plastic surgery trajectory.
She would be that type to be like, you know what, my career is starting to fade. Let me go get more work done because I need to stay in the spotlight.
That's that. You know what though? That's starting to be pervasive in our in this society. Anyway, okay, let's get back to Yeezus.
Stream 1 foot in the underground.
Any final thoughts now that we've seen the entire thing?
I applaud him for trying. On the plus side, I admire his worth ethic and his, you know, go-getiveness, and that mm-hmm. he's going to make it by any means, and, you know, he's not going to be boxing. I give him that, and that is a lot of stuff to look for. He speaks his mind, so I'm cool with that on him. But he does sometimes go over the top, you know, his comment about his wife being more influential than
Michelle Obama.
Oh, my God. Let's not even... Come on.
Oh, like, influential as what? As in... Negativity? If you want that whole bad publicity is publicity still? Yes. 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 Your wife has Michelle Obama beat on
yes,
that.
Damn.
But I'm like, come
and
on.
I would have liked his. Are they married? Or his fiance, his wife?
He's married.
I would have liked them more.
I'm expecting them to.
If she had come behind him and be like, yeah, Kanye's crazy for saying some shit like that. Clearly, I'm not more influential than Michelle Obama. I mean, somebody in that set have makes
somebody
some
on
sense.
Their team had to be like, you want to correct it.
Somewhere.
But he is who he is. Somebody's Twitter who was like, I'm happy. It was a podcaster, I think, who was like, I'm glad they got married because now I can't wait to see this plane crash. Which is probably gonna happen. I don't see them being 30 plus years. I don't see them making a Will and Jada. Will and Jada got some secrets, you know, but they're hanging in there. I don't see Kanye and her doing that.
We'll
if they make 10 years,
I see her taking a very nice ride to the bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do see that. Mm. You know, but now that he's a father, we'll see what he does now.
Yeah, because that will have an impact.
On the whole,
we need prenup. We want prenup.
That whole, I'm the same person. I'm like...
You can't be.
Yeah, you can't be. I understand what you're trying to say, but technically you can't be. Mm-mm. I mean, yeah, you a father now. Your mother not here.
You it's know, a lot to have changed.
Right, you making it with all these big name fashion people that I don't even fucking know. Like, you ain't that same nigga from Chicago trying to get on with no ID.
Mm-mm.
You not.
Well, shout out to Kanye for his fearlessness. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my final thought. He is definitely going about this journey with absolutely no fear, balls to the walls, for the most part, overall. He's fearful of failure, as most of us are.
Mm-hmm.
which is why I think he sometimes wild out the way he does when in the face of rejection. But I think overall, he's trying to go about it as fearless as possible. No, definitely not fearfully trying. Tash Money?
No, you guys have summed it up well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining. We hope the clear version of Black is Break on Kanye West. Peace.
Hey, wait, hold up. I started the year off with I Gave Sway his first TV.
Now what is it?
I got to end the year off with You Ain't Got the Answer, Sway.
To empower yourself and don't need them and do it yourself.
How, Sway?
Take a few steps back. To
go, you ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway. I've been doing this more than you. You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway.
I'm asking you for the answers.
You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway. I've been doing this more than you. You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answer, Sway. You ain't been doing an education. I am Shakespeare in the flesh. Walt Disney, Nike, Google, let me create more. Or do you want to marginalize me till I'm out of my moment? I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. You ain't got the answers, man.
You ain't
got
to turn up. This ain't no fucking show. No.
You ain't spent $13 million of your own money trying to empower yourself.
Right.
What's the name of your clothing line? We don't know. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway. I've been doing this more than you. You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway.
I'm asking you for the answers.
You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway. I've been doing this more than you. You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway. You ain't been doing an education.
Why don't you empower yourself and don't need them?
Sway.
Take a few steps back to go.
You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway.